This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Some new news in the Sandra Birchmore case. You may remember this one. Out of Massachusetts, the police officer, former police officer, part of the Explorers program, that groomed a child into adulthood, thought he got her pregnant. Turned out it actually wasn't his. But he's accused of taking her life before she ever had the baby. Now he's charged with murder. We're going to get into all of that, but that's the cliff notes. A federal judge in Boston has denied the motion to dismiss charges against Matthew Farwell, former Stoughton police detective, currently sitting in a detention facility in Rhode Island, awaiting a trial locked in now for October 2026. The case is moving forward. The indictment stands. And Sandra Birchmore's family, who packed that courtroom and stood outside the courthouse holding signs, gets to exhale. At least for now. But before we get into what happened in that courtroom, you need to understand what this case actually is. Because if you've never heard the name Sandra Birchmore, what I'm about to tell you is going to stay with you. Sandra Birchmore was 23 years old when she was found dead in her apartment in Canton, Massachusetts, on February 4th of 2021. She was 3 months pregnant. The state medical examiner looked at the scene, looked at the evidence, and issued a ruling. Self-inflicted. Case closed. No charges. Local prosecutors from Norfolk District Attorney's Office looked at the same situation and walked away. For years, that was the official story, until it wasn't. Here's where the official story falls apart. Sandra first walked into the Stoughton Police Department's Explorer program in 2010. She was 12 at the time. 12! Remember that. Okay? The Explorers program was meant to expose middle and high school students to careers in law enforcement. Lovely idea. Give kids a positive connection to the community, show them what the badge is supposed to stand for. Sandra signed up. She trusted the people in uniform. By 2013, according to federal prosecutors, Matthew Farwell, then 26, a volunteer and later an instructor in that same program, had begun a criminal S relationship with Sandra. She was 15 by that time. He was a decade older, in a position of authority, in a building full of police officers. And it went on, not for weeks, not for months, for years, into her adult life. Federal prosecutors allege he met with her for S while on duty, clocked in uniform, on the department's time, and then logged those hours as actual police work. According to federal affidavits filed in support of detaining Farwell, that's not just predatory. It's also fraud. And Farwell wasn't the only one. Yes, because these people are freaking monsters. This is the part of the story that turns your stomach even more. Because it wasn't one bad actor. Sandra Birchmore was allegedly passed around and preyed upon by multiple men connected to that same department. Farwell's twin brother, William, also tied to law enforcement, has been stripped of his certification to work as a police officer in Massachusetts. Then there's former Stoughton Police Deputy Chief Robert Devine, the man who actually oversaw the Explorer program. The program Sandra joined at 12. According to findings from a state oversight board, Devine met with Birchmore while on duty as recently as December 2020, just weeks before her death. And that meeting allegedly involved an S encounter as well. How was he communicating with her in the lead up to that meeting? Well, according to the oversight board's 30-page ruling, Devine used an alias, Marty Riggs, the character from Lethal Weapon. A deputy chief of police allegedly using a fake name to contact a woman the board found he had first encountered as a child in his own program. Now, those folks of Stoughton must be just so proud. Their best and brightest police officers to protect and serve your corrupt little department there. Yeah. The state's Peace Officer Standards and Training Commission subsequently voted to decertify Devine entirely. He's now barred from serving as a law enforcement officer in Massachusetts. That decertification has been reported to a national database. He denied the allegations against him, accused Birchmore of being dishonest and claimed he was targeted by computer hackers, you know, like all innocent people do. It's hackers. The Riverside board didn't buy it. So there's that. Allegations are what they are. Let's talk about what prosecutors believe actually happened in the final 2 weeks of Sandra Birchmore's life. On January 20th to 21, a friend of Sandra's called Stoughton Police Headquarters and told a department employee that Sandra and Matthew Farwell had been involved with each other. According to the FBI, that call was passed along internally to Farwell himself because they really know how to handle things there in a really effective manner. There's a complaint against you. Oh, send it right through directly to the person, the complaint being made. A married father of three found out that someone had just flagged his alleged decade-long relationship with a woman prosecutors say he'd been exploiting since she was a teenager. According to federal prosecutors, that's when the clock started. Because less than 2 weeks later, Sandra Birchmore was dead. I'd love to know why that's the process in that department. So someone calls this in. You don't handle it internally. You don't investigate it without the actual person in question being, I just want to know, was this just an idiot that answered the phone that didn't have any experience? There's a complaint again. You want to talk to him, Bill? You know, I mean, or was this literally, is this how they handle complaints? Farwell was the last known person to see her alive on the evening of February 1st, according to Stoughton Police Department internal affairs reports. Surveillance video from the lobby of her apartment building captured him entering, captured him exiting, and 3 days later, she was found. The official ruling said she took her own life. Federal prosecutors say that's exactly what Matthew Farwell wanted them to conclude. The indictment charges him with ending her life by force and staging the scene to appear as something it wasn't. He has pled not guilty. There's one detail the defense has leaned on unheavily here, and it's worth addressing directly. DNA testing has confirmed that Farwell is not the biological father of Sandra's unborn child. His attorneys have treated this like some sort of demolition charge, as if the paternity result dismantles the entire case. Federal prosecutors counter that there are thousands of text messages, years of documented contact, surveillance footage, and a trail of investigative findings that have nothing to do with the DNA test. Who fathered that child is irrelevant. It's a separate question from who was in her building that night, and the judge agreed. Because at the moment in time, you know who thought he was the dad? Farwell. And that's all that matters at that moment. It makes him look like an even bigger blithering idiot after the fact. But I think he already knows he is one, or at least he's spent most of his life trying to prove to the world that he isn't one behind a badge. But the reality is, nothing can fix stupid. Here's what the defense actually argued in their motion to dismiss, because it's worth understanding. Not because it has merit, but because it tells you how this fight is going to unfold at trial. The charge Farwell faces is killing a witness, which is a federal crime under specific conditions. The defense argued the indictment is, in their words, defective in both form and substance, that it fails to establish federal jurisdiction because it never specifically identifies what federal offense Sandra might have been about to report, or that she would have reported it to federal authorities rather than the state or local ones. Their argument? The only call made before her death went to local police, not federal agents. So the federal hook, they say, isn't there. The prosecution's response was blunt. You can't require the government to prove the specifics of a communication that the defendant allegedly ensured could never take place. As one prosecutor put it in court, demanding that level of specificity is asking for a metaphysical impossibility. Chief Judge Janice J. Casper heard nearly 45 minutes of argument before taking the matter under advisement. When her ruling came down, it was unambiguous. The indictment is legally sound. Both counts stand, the killing of the witness, and the causing of death of her unborn child. The trial, it moves forward. If convicted on both counts, Farwell faces a possible life sentence, as he should. The charge of killing a witness is technically eligible for capital punishment, but U.S. Attorney General Pamela Bondi has directed prosecutors not to pursue it. Because why not? You know, he seems like such a nice guy. Whether you think that's the right call or not, the bottom line remains, life in federal prison is where this guy ends if he is found guilty. And the odds are he will be. He also has to run out. He's also run out of other exits. In November of 25, his attorneys filed a motion to relocate the trial to Rhode Island, arguing the volume of local media coverage made seating an impartial jury in Massachusetts impossible. Well, you should have thought of that before you started diddling the 12-year-old in the Police Explorers program a decade ago. This might end in a trial that people locally might frown upon. Well, that's a shame, Matt. The judge shut that down in January 26. The motion to dismiss denied, the venue change denied. October 5th, 26 is the date. Federal court in Boston is the place. Outside the courthouse following the dismissal hearing, Mizzy Berry of the Justice for Birchmore Group put it plainly, please don't dismiss it. Let the jury of his peers decide his fate. Sandra's cousin, Barbara Wright, who has shown up to what feels like every hearing in the case, called Farwell a monster and said what many people following this case have felt for a long time. It's time. Unanswered questions still sit at the edges of this case. The state medical examiner has not changed the official ruling. The biological father of Sandra's unborn child has not been publicly identified, but I bet if you did a paternity test in the department, you might find it. The full scope of how many people within that department knew what was happening to Sandra Birchmore, and for how long, may never be fully exposed inside a courtroom. And that's what makes this case bigger than one man in a tan jumpsuit asking a judge to let him walk. Sandra Birchmore signed up for a police youth program at 12 years old because she trusted the system. She was allegedly exploited by multiple men connected to that system for a decade. When someone finally made a phone call that might have exposed all of it, she was dead within 2 weeks. The state called her death self-inflicted and moved on. It took years of pressure, a federal investigation, and the refusal of people close to Sandra to accept the official version of events before anyone was charged with anything at all. The trial is set. The question of what happened in that Canton apartment on the night of February 1st, 2021, will finally get its day in federal court. Sandra Birchmore deserved better from every institution that touched her life. The least she deserves now is a truth told out loud, under oath, on the record, in front of a jury. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. I would love to see them. I'd love to read them. And we'll continue our conversation there. Substack, YouTube, the links are in the description. By the way, it's free right now to join our Substack. No paywall. Get right in there. Join our community. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, you also get all of our videos, all of our reporting a day in advance when you join our Substack. And again, free. Check it out. Links in the description. Press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. And like I said, we'll continue that conversation there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.